Welcome to the David Bowie's Ghost podcast. My name is Jen.
And I'm Daniel. And on this podcast, we explore the mystical realms of channeling through Jen and I's experiences communing with the other side.
As well as our shared love of music, art, and the sacred connection between creativity and healing.
If you like what you hear, please join our community on Patreon to gain access to the various offerings we are guided to share.
We invite you to be our companions on this ride as we embrace our own strange design.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Daniel.
So, here we are in this first iteration, this first incarnation of David Bowie's Ghost, the heart-led, heart-driven project originating from your heart, your mind, your soul, and with my willing contribution, co-creation, and vision to support you on this journey that, frankly, neither of us know where it's going to go or how it's quite going to unfold, which is par for the course. I'm not sure any of us really get that privilege, at least those of us who truly surrender to the unfolding. But we're going to say yes and see where it goes. We both know that this is truly in alignment. We know we are both meant to use our voices in some synchronous dance and simply trust the unfolding. So I will just briefly introduce myself for all of our soon-to-be listeners. My name is Dr. Daniel Atkins, or simply Daniel. I call myself an intuitive psychologist, a channeler, a writer, a podcaster, amongst some other names and identities that resonate with me, namely an enormous Fish fan, a fan of the band Fish, which overlaps with some of Jen's own identities and what initially brought us together. And this art project, if we may call it that, is an unfolding guided by Jen and I's recent connection, guided by source, guided by universal will, and each of our own desires and readiness to continue creating. So I will now turn it over to you, Jen, just to share a few words, a few identities that resonate with you about who you are, and anything else you'd like to add about this coming together.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, before I even say anything about me, I would like to say that I am incredibly nervous to use my voice. I have felt very, very sort of closed off, especially just verbally speaking, and I'm nervous, and I want people to know that this is scary for me, and I am really just facing my fears by being here and doing this, and knowing that I might hate the way I sound, and I might say too many times. And also knowing that I'm going to be able to forgive myself and hopefully keep coming back and doing this, because I feel like I have so much to explore. And meeting Daniel, I feel very safe exploring all of this new information that I've been given. So yeah, I said it.
You said it.
I did it.
You started. And that's really, that's it. It's just starting. I think our minds, when we start to, what I would call channel or use our voice or really share any expression that we know others will hear. The mind wants to plan it all out. It wants to say, how many times am I going to say, how am I going to sound, blah, blah, blah. But when we start, when we just start to surrender a little bit of that control and let the words come out, that's like often the hardest part, because once the gates open, the voice learns, the body learns, like, oh, we're doing this and we're still here. We're not on fire. And it's going to be okay.
Sure. I guess I can relate this to visual art. And I really, I'm an artist, and one of the mediums that I work in is paint and oil paint. And I started painting again for the first time in a couple years. And for the first 6 weeks or so, a lot of the art that came out was kind of a mess. And I just kept pushing through it. And one day I felt like I just kind of let go and things started flowing naturally. And I had some pieces that I actually loved. So I hope this process is sort of similar, and that at some point I can look at these and think, okay, I loved that. It sounded good and it flowed naturally.
And I think just the benefit of what I will share from my own very brief experience in this world is that I had no idea how people were going to receive what I started to say. And the things that I thought were super cringy and off-putting that came out of my mouth weren't necessarily so for the listeners. And I'm sure that they thought certain things were cringy and off-putting that I may have liked, but that's kind of part of it. And it also alleviates the burden of attempting to control what we say and how it sounds, because we actually don't really know how others are going to receive the information, the frequency of it. And it can just loosen us up a little bit, kind of like our mutually favorite band on stage. If Trey were to go back and they were to criticize every note and try to control every sound, I think it would make for quite a rigid and frustrating performance, which I'm sure they've done in the past, but I'm pretty sure they have a rule now where they refuse to do that, because you show up with honest and courageous intention to channel and to flow, and you trust. And I think this project, this podcast experience, is a microcosm of what your life as well as my own life has been, which is showing up and trusting amidst the mess, the messiness, the confusion, the doubt, all of it. And ultimately being able to look back and say, wow, that was all part of it. All those energies needed to come up because they were living inside me, whether I showed up to do something courageous or not. I was carrying all that doubt, and this was the opportunity to start to transmute it, to channel it into something beautiful.
Absolutely. Improvising. Yep. So I'm ready. I am ready to give this a try.
So there's a few directions we could go here, and we've discussed a little bit about some prompts for this first episode. One potential direction would be to invite the listeners into the name of this podcast and how it came to be from your own witnessing experience. Alongside that is a little bit about how we came to meet, as well as are one of a few possible prompts for today, which you've already begun to speak to a little bit, which is how you're feeling a little freaked out.
Wow. Well, I mean, I guess we know why I'm feeling a little freaked out. First of all, I'm just having trouble, like I've said, using my voice and being vocal. And one of the reasons is because I'm experiencing something new that is kind of hard to understand. I've realized recently that I'm a channel, and I can speak to spirits, and I really believed it with my heart the first maybe 6 months that this was going on. And then something happened where I just started questioning these messages, these feelings, this connection. And I just really thought I was crazy. And there's probably a better word to use than that, but I started looking up, you know, psychosis, and I don't know. I thought they were going to like lock me up because I was hearing voices. Maybe I was schizophrenic. And I really became deeply, deeply depressed, and I kind of stopped talking to people. And it just, that didn't do me any good. So I opened myself back up to it, and it started happening again. And I met you, and I met some other like-minded people who made me feel a little less alone. So yeah, I am just a little freaked out.
And that's really, that's a beautiful place for us to start, because I think more people have had and are beginning to have these experiences than we're truly aware of and we truly know, for the very same reasons that you and myself can identify, which is that it's scary as hell starting to speak about things that, you know, for the large part, the collective society we live in is you know, doesn't always feel super receptive or welcoming to these experiences. And for myself, coming from the clinical psychological world, I can say for a fact that lots of clinicians do have those kinds of inclinations about what kind of diagnosis this is. Should we connect you with a hospital? Should we immediately talk about hardcore medications that are going to mess with your brain chemistry? Just because, not necessarily out of any malicious intent or ill will, but because that's their training, because that's the extent of what they're open to. That's the extent of their witnessing experience, of what they consider to be within the realm of possibility. And for most of us, I would likely say all of us, a direct witnessing experience is one of the only ways to truly start to see the reality of the case. And even then, even when you glimpse something real within your own experience, like you said, all the doubts pile in, and it's like, well, I kind of trust it. It feels right, but also, can I trust my feelings? Can I trust my thoughts? So we inevitably go through this shaking up of the voices we are hearing. And some would say that simply stating hearing voices means you should be locked up or you should be put on some spectrum of a diagnosis. Except the reality is most of us, if not all of us, hear some voice, hear some inner voice. It may sound like you, and you may think it's your own, and you may trust it, and you may think it has your best intentions in mind or at heart. But when we start to inquire into that, I think a lot of us find that that voice, at least the dominant one, the predominant one, tends to be quite fear-based, tends to be quite survival-based. It can be greedy. It can be always attempting to get things, always attempting to feel worthy and validated, always attempting to be escaping abandonment, escaping disapproval. And rarely do we have the opportunity to question whether that is actually in our highest interest. And it tends to be the case that until we start to hear another voice or inquire into the possibility of another voice, and it doesn't have to be a spirit guide or a channeled entity, it could just be another part of us that's a little friendlier, a little more positive. Until we start to explore that, do we even begin to question whether this predominant voice is something that we have the choice to keep listening to, the choice to keep allowing in? And so it does tend to be messy. It does tend to be shaking things up, and it can feel very ungrounded. And yet the reward for moving through that inner chaos is starting to come into a deeper kind of alignment, a more intentional alignment with the voices we want to hear, we want to listen to, our own and others included. And that goes for those in human bodies and those without.
I mean, I feel like I'm doing a disservice by listening to that voice that's telling me I'm crazy. There are so many other interesting things going on. And so I'm kind of working on shutting that other one off so that I can focus on all of this beautiful information that's being given to me and that I've been able to tap into. And I've been able to separate myself a little bit from that voice. And I'm excited because I feel like I have a lot of work to do, and we have a lot of work to do, and that there are people that are, or spirits that are literally trying to connect with us. And I'm ready to explore this. And also, for anyone that will be listening to this, I thought it would be a good place to start because I feel like I am such a noob at all of this, at channeling, and I'm just, you know, it's overwhelming. So that's why we have Daniel here. Because Daniel is an excellent communicator. And I think he can sort of help guide me and us on this journey.
Well, thank you for the kind words.
And or try to.
And also I'll say, on some level, I'm here simply because this is where I ended up. And this is where we ended up. But I am certainly here to be of service, to show up, and to join in the transmuting of my own fears and doubts and the voices in my head. And I will just say one thing about that, which is, firstly, it sounds like you're really noticing what can happen when we recognize our choice to focus our attention. Our attention and intention. Most of us just sort of consciously and unconsciously listen to that one voice, and it guides our life path. And then, you know, people who hear the word channeling will be like, oh no, yeah, that's only reserved for certain kinds of people who are either just making shit up or like actually channeling entities into their body or whatever. But for me, the spectrum of that word is, frankly, that all of us are channeling something. Some of us are just channeling unconsciously our conditioning, our trauma. And so it just plays out in that fear-based thinking. But that's still a form of channeling. It's still a form of listening. We're just listening to that predominant voice. And when we start to notice some other options, for me at least, rather than working to really shut off that voice, which tends to take this form of resistance and fight, it can be helpful when we see, like you mentioned, when the excitement energy comes in, the gratitude energy comes in, the feeling of bliss and love and possibility, It simply takes or strips power away from the voice, so we don't have to fight it. It can show up if it needs to, because actually it's helpful to see what we're dealing with. It's helpful to hear the limitation, to hear the doubt, and say, oh, that's what's in there. That's what's been rattling around in there for me, you know, for 30 plus years or whatever. Like, that's been in there. And so it's helpful to see it. And yet when we strip power from it, for me, the true blessing is not having to cut it completely out of our life, but to let it be there without triggering us, and us knowing that's not me. That's just not me. And I hear you, but no, thank you. I'm not available for that. It's like an ex-partner, you know, initially when the breakup happens, we're like, I'm cutting this person out of my life. I'm never going to see them again. But then what happens over time is, rather than that resistance and that push to block them on social media and all that energy that we still commit to the relationship in some way, the true bliss is in letting that person continue to exist in your reality, without it being, without feeling victim to it, without feeling victimized by that person who is likely just a mirror for our own wounds, similar to that voice, and just putting it in its place as one voice of many, and when it rears its head, doing our best to say, okay, I hear you, but you know, I'm gonna practice shifting attention to another voice, just to see if there's something else in there. See what else I can conjure, and if that can take a back seat.
Sure. Yeah. I'm working with it, and again, I'll bring it back to painting. I know that voice is there, but when I can, let it go just a bit. That's when I can flow a little bit more naturally. And I'd like to change the subject.
Go right ahead.
Because I'd like to talk about David Crosby. So David Crosby passed away in January. It was right before my birthday. And I want to say it was the 19th. I might be wrong. But David Crosby connected with me, I believe, when I was meditating. And I saw him as this sort of gray and blue mass being released. And I just saw him floating. And I won't talk too much about the other things that happened within that meditation, just because I'm trying to keep it David Crosby right now. But recently, his name has been coming up. And I asked Daniel, because someone was telling me to have Daniel work directly with his spirit, because I believe his spirit is trying to cross over into heaven. And that's the message that I'm receiving. And he was asking Daniel to help him move on. And I saw him as just very stuck. So I told Daniel about this, and Daniel connected with him yesterday.
Yeah, and I will just say, this is actually the first time we're really talking about this or debriefing it, and we felt that this would be a good opportunity to unfold it in real time. What the only thing that I knew from Jen was the invitation to work with David Crosby, which I will say, if it's not already feeling quite out there and outlandish already, that this is not actually the primary way that I have until recently worked with the spirit realm. Traditionally for me, as you know, what I would call myself to be an intuitive psychologist, I do hear guides, guidance, and you know, I work with people typically around healing trauma in its many iterations and forms, and I can connect with other people's guides. And that, but that shows up in different ways. Like when I'm in a session with someone, I may hear different things, I may see different things, and typically I just know where to go. I just kind of, you know, have that compass, that intuitive compass about how to help people unfold the blockages and resistances. And these are people who exist in the human realm, who are still alive. So it, that's a different context. And then there's my time alone, that where I've had experiences that vary, experiences that I would call more kind of explicit channeling, or entities that come to me and deliver messages, and simply unfolding my own truth and visions for my life. And certainly I've connected with loved ones that have crossed over, and actually in the relative beginning of my own sort of intuitive waking up, I was guided to do a lot of ancestral lineage healing in my own past, where I would I just simply felt guided to or knew how to help ancestors, my own ancestors, release trauma that I was carrying and that they were carrying, and that they were going to receive benefit from by me releasing. So there was that sort of experience. And then there was a really good friend of mine who crossed over, and I'd connected with him. But those were those became less frequent experiences, as I was just more guided to work with others and work with their guides and things like that. So it wasn't until very recently that a mutual friend of Jen and I's, the person who initially connected us, that a very close person to her who had died a few years ago came to me. And I knew right away, just from my experience in working with entities or beings in that realm, I knew right away that he was stuck. And I knew that there was just some trauma that he wasn't able to let go. There were, and it wasn't just about how he died, which on the surface, there was that. There was the people he felt he hurt. But there was also a sense of what he had come into this life path to work with, these feelings of unforgiveness, these feelings of guilt and things like that. And I just kind of intuitively knew how to support the clearing process. I can't tell you it's something I studied or really learned from anyone in particular, though I've worked with many healers over the years. I interview plenty of them and have engaged in various forms of training and cultivation. But this particular kind of healing was something I just listened to my own guides around, and I just kind of knew how to support the energy clearing, as I would call it, for this soul who had crossed over. And so that was the first experience that Jen and I were both connected to, and she reported to me that she felt this soul and felt that clearing. And so when she brought up David Crosby, this was really probably the second opportunity or invitation I had to work with a soul that had crossed over in this way. And again, when I show up, you know, I don't really do much in a very standardized process at this point. Pretty much all of my life is intuitive. So she just simply said, "Hey, David Crosby would like a healing." And I was like, okay, I like David's music. And I do know that he recently died. So let's just check in and see what's up. And so, like many things, for some may resonate with this, a lot of connecting to the spirit realm is just simply asking and simply opening and tuning in. And so I got on my couch and called in my guides, and then asked to be a channel and a vessel for the light. And I called in David. And similar to that last experience, I heard him and I felt him, and I immediately knew that he was stuck. My body is very sensitive. So I could just feel, if you identify as an empath, and you know, when you meet people, in the human form, and you can feel if they're sad, you can feel if they're anxious. It's just like that. It's actually not different at all. And I could just feel this sense of burden in David Crosby. I felt this sense that it was not quote unquote normal, I will say, which is a very relative term, quote unquote normal for a spirit to feel heavy in my body, to feel like they were still carrying this human trauma, this human conditioning, which ideally we're able to let go of as we transition. It's not to say we don't still have work to do. You know, as the medium Kathy Taylor would say, the school continues. It's just spirit school. But we do have the benefit of getting free of the experience of human conditioning while we're in the spirit realm, as far as I know, and while we're learning. And so that burdening, it felt like a stone. It felt heavy. And this is what the only thing I really reported to Jen after, before we just decided we were going to unfold it here on the podcast, is that I just felt and heard, and I say felt and heard because when I connect with the realm, it is this combination of feeling and hearing. Like, it is auditory, but it's also very feeling-based as well. And I felt and heard that this burdening was this sense that he both missed the world, he missed being human, and it felt almost unfinished to him, like he was still connected to the drama of human suffering, almost like he was still grieving the suffering of the planet and was sad to leave without fulfilling some sense of whatever duty or service he felt. And I almost got the sense that his service, his creativity, was laced with a kind of grief, laced with a kind of sadness while he was alive. And so he was still attached to that kind of caregiving, that this sense of being of service for him was still laced with heaviness, that to be of service, you had to carry a burden, you know, like the depressed artist archetype, that the music has to be laced with your own pain. It felt like he was still carrying that and didn't necessarily know how to let go of it in the spirit realm. And so I didn't necessarily know exactly how to free him of it, but I set the intention and I used some practices to clear, almost using my body vicariously to clear the emotional trauma and to simply call in my healing masters, my healing guides to free him of this. And I just started to sense a little bit of lightening because he was a lightening of the weight of it, because he was ready and I was ready and the intention was clear. And then it just felt like he wanted me to play one of his songs. I just heard him say, play Woodstock. And I was like, all right. And so I went onto my phone. I went onto Spotify. I was going to play a live version. He's like, no, the studio version. Studio version is good. So I was like, okay. So I found the studio version. And immediately when I played the song, I started to feel the power and emotion move through me. And it almost felt like he got to benefit from the human experience of emotion again. Because it's not for me to say that those in the spirit realm don't feel emotion. I think they probably maybe have a certain level of feeling. Maybe it's just simply a feeling of unconditional love, of bliss, of however it feels to be a spirit. But I do sense that they lose touch with more of the human conditioning of feelings, particularly the lower feelings like shame and things like that. But also maybe the more human sense of really being like moved to tears, like really being so moved by a piece of music that just feels so deeply human. And when I was feeling that, it felt like he got to embrace that and touch just the magic of his own music, and I just started to feel him dance. I started to dance, not like myself, but like something else, maybe like David. Don't know how he danced, but I started to dance and move, and I just saw him start to get light, and I felt him start to see that he could let go, that his service here on earth was beautiful, and it was still deeply of service, and that he could be of service as a free entity, as a light being, as a light worker, which he may never have been able to appreciate in the human form, like many of us. And I just felt his gratitude, and I felt him continue on dancing and potentially ready to learn in all the ways that he was ready to. And then I just shared that with Jen, and she said, okay, we'll talk about it on the podcast. And so that's where my knowledge ends.
Well, thank you very much for connecting with him, because my spirit guides, and I just started calling them spirit guides because I didn't know what they were until recently, were concerned because he was stuck. And when I say stuck, my knowledge, just my very brief knowledge of being stuck as a spirit, just from what my spirit guides are telling me, is that there's this space that you go to after you pass away, and these spirits spend time there sort of healing before they go to what I believe is heaven. And I'm sure there are, you know, lots of different views on what it means, and I really don't think there's a right or a wrong, because this is what I'm sort of seeing. But they sort of wanted him to heal so that he could come up to heaven, and that's where he's going next. So they want him to know that he is going to a really wonderful place where I believe he will be playing music again with other musicians who are up there waiting for him. And a lot of these musicians, for whatever reason, happen to be my spirit guides. And they've really surrounded me the last couple years. So they wanted him to know that he is going to be playing music with them, and he needs to heal. And so that's, you know, why I sent Daniel. And I went back and checked in on him after. And for whatever reason, I can actually see this sort of mass, this space, this area where the spirits are. And I wasn't sure if I could really talk to him and hear him. And I was questioning myself, but I eventually did hear him. I took my hands and I put them in this saltwater bath that I have. And I've found out recently that salt and submerging your body or your hands in salt, whatever it is, for whatever reason, helps me channel clearer. And anyways, I heard him, and he could hear me, and I told him a little bit about heaven and who was waiting for him. And I saw him as this, it almost looked like a basket, like a raffle basket. And it was made out of light, and it looked like it was spinning, and it looked like there were other masses of light, and I guess these are some type of light workers that were helping him to actually move and spin. And I think this is the beginning of some sort of a healing process. And again, before, he just seemed stuck in space, just like, you know, the inside of your body when you're just feeling like you can't do something, just stuck. And now, all of a sudden, he has a little bit of lightness and a little bit of movement. And yeah, that's where I left it with David Crosby.
And so, yeah, I'll just say that. So that was new for me to hear. And I will say, yeah, it works a little different for all of us. Like, so Jen can see, and that does align with how I've heard others describe what they might refer to as angels, working as these sort of small balls of light or such. I don't necessarily see them, so that's not necessarily my experience, but Jen can. And what I'll also say is, yeah, we all have slightly different language and different ways of speaking about it. And, you know, if it's off-putting for you to hear, you know, language that traditionally has more religious context, such as heaven or hell, there's a plethora of language that we can all find that resonates with us, because as we know, just from the human experience, language, words themselves are never the thing. Words are the best descriptors that we have at times to get close to the thing itself. And so others might call it simply dimensional planes or simply learning what we need to learn before we move on to the next stage of our journey. There's plenty of ways to speak about it. And I think the beauty of this path is that you are free to hear, to listen to your own guidance and what resonates and works for you, and pursue the language that fits. And like Jen said, it's not about right or wrong, because when we get really attached to one form of language or one form of description, it can end up limiting or just simply narrowing the opportunity for us to welcome in other languages that may resonate with us later. It may change. It does, in fact, change day to day, which is much different than how we listen to the thinking mind, which can be a sort of, I learn this, then I learn that, I learn math, then I learn history, and it's just by the book. It's almost algorithmic. And then I build up this conceptual reservoir of knowledge that I pull on from, you know, throughout my life, and I get smarter and smarter. And yet the reality is it's really not linear, because things change. Things we thought were true before end up not being true. And particularly as we're investigating and inquiring into our own inner realm, let alone the outer realms, staying as open and flexible as we can is typically the way. And as humble as we can, because ego certainly gets in there and convinces us, no, the language I heard works, and I don't like that frame. Well, you're certainly entitled to not like that frame, but if you receive the invitation to soften and just see where it takes you, it might resonate more with you over time than it did before, or it might not, and that's perfectly okay. That's what all of this exploration is about. It's not necessarily about nailing down what is absolutely true, but giving voice to our truth, because we each have a truth to share, and it is vital. And that was, I think, just a beautiful expression of one of the many experiences that Jen has been having, and a few that I've been able to participate in and support in my own way.
I was also thinking about just, you know, all this different information and, you know, is it right? Is it wrong? I'm also realizing that each of my spirit guides has a totally different voice, and they're all giving me information differently. I will say that George Harrison is also one of my spirit guides, and each of my spirit guides is attached to a color. And I've found out recently that they all form a rainbow. And I'm not sure if I said he's orange or not, but he's orange. And he also has a hint of green to him. But he was saying yesterday that he couldn't believe, I don't know, I can't remember who we were talking about. I wrote some of it down, that somebody else had given me information the way that they did. So I've been kind of laughing about that too, because again, this is all so very new to me. And as much as I say I'm confused, I'm also not confused, because I'm going into this with just a completely, you know, open heart and open mind. And And yeah, and then being able to forgive myself and say, okay, well, maybe that wasn't right, or, you know, whatever it is. I'm just trying to flow with this. And I think I'm generally pretty good at that with a lot of different things. And yeah, this is just one more.
You're opening and surrendering as best you can to the experience. And that is so beautiful, because the truth is none of us are really taught to surrender. It's not even something that can very easily be taught, because every part of our conditioning is like control, figure out, plan, understand. And surrender is about letting go of all those things. It doesn't feel quote unquote right. It feels scary and icky and like, no, how am I gonna walk my path? How am I gonna get my taxes done? How am I gonna figure out what I want to do with my life if I don't think it into existence, if I don't plan for it? And what I would say is, whatever you think you have thought into existence, I invite you to consider that really what you did is just listen, that something came to you. You didn't necessarily create the thought, you heard it. You're a receiver for it. And when we start to open up to the idea that we are not the sole creator, but a co-creator of this ride, it can ease the burden just a little bit as we navigate these new waters. And let me also just say, for those of you who are like, oh my God, Jen is communicating with the coolest artist of all time, she does have some really fucking cool spirit guides. And I don't have really famous musicians that are up there guiding me, as far as I know. You know, so it's different for everyone. So we simply invite you to be open to the experiences that are flowing through us. For me, a lot of the guides that I hear have never been human, are potentially from different dimensional planes, or potentially some of them ET beings, which we may or may not get into at another point. But it's just different. It just is different. And again, it's not about right or wrong, or about nailing down what is true or what isn't true. This is a space, a safe space, to unfold what very much appears to be each of our direct witnessing experiences. And so it's being open to the language and the wisdom and the form that it takes and that it comes through as. And this is the beauty and the excitement and the magic of it that unfolds for each of us, and in this case for Jen.
I would also like to talk about the clearing session that you did with me last week. I came over to Daniel's, and I want you to talk about it first, just because I don't know much about it. And I actually wanted to ask you about it because I am feeling, you start. I think it'll be easier that way, if you don't mind.
Of course. So, Jen and I had connected recently, and maybe at some point we'll dig into that. But, no surprise probably to many that it was through the medium of a fish show and our mutual love of this band. And I believe she felt safe in our initial encounter and felt that I maybe had a more unique capacity to hear a bit of what she was going through, which I know she didn't have many outlets for at the time. And this project in this space being a really vital and new one for her. So we kept in touch, and I was guided to be of service to her. And so we hung out a couple times, and she might text me questions and I would respond. And then at one point she got some clarity on, oh wow, I just saw a hummingbird out the window, and that is so beautiful because I love hummingbirds and they are super spiritual. So we are guided by many. Anyway, she was asking about how to get clear as a channel, and was getting some clarity in her own right that this was part of her path. And so I checked in on some options. You know, when people reach out to me, there's many things that I might suggest. Maybe there's a book, or maybe there's a podcast, or maybe it's something that you can do yourself or seek out or pursue. And there's an infinite amount of possibilities and ways that I could potentially be involved. Sometimes I'm not meant to be involved. Sometimes I don't get a yes to support someone directly, but just to guide them on their way. In this particular case, I got a yes to suggest a lineage of what I would call energy medicine or energy healing that I recently spent a good amount of my time training in, called Pranic Healing. And I will just say that I do not commit a ton of my time to learning a bunch of new modalities. I'm pretty selective about what I really commit to, but when I get a yes to do it, I jump in. I got a strong yes to Pranic Healing and I jumped in. And this is a lineage created by the Grandmaster Chol Kok Sui, who originated from the Philippines. And what was initially so inspiring to me is that this master was very well read. He integrated various philosophies, including Western psychotherapy, into what became a very powerful energetic practice. This also included all styles of yoga, of clairvoyance, of really across the spectrum. And that is really beautiful to me because I see myself as an integrative, a truly integrative healer and a bridge between different modalities and realms. So that immediately caught my attention. And then just in seeking out a practitioner, I was guided to a woman named Ellen Morano, who has the same name as my mother, and I just got a strong yes to her. And, you know, briefly, I'll share my introduction, which was reaching out to her on Instagram, asking for a session, her saying yes. And then when I got to her office space, telling me that she never really said yes to, she never really responded on Instagram, but something guided her. Her husband came in and said, "Hey, you have a session from someone on social media." And she said, "What? I never answered to those." So, and she's telling me this saying, you know, it must be divinely guided because you're here. And she gave me a clearing, my first Pranic Healing clearing, which involves about 45 minutes to an hour's length of time typically. And you as the receiver of the clearing are typically following a meditation while the practitioner works with what I would call these spectrums of pranic color that you can see clairvoyantly, but you don't necessarily have to. You can simply follow the steps, the hand motions, what you learn to clear energy, which is a more in-depth process that I can talk about at another time. But I received this clearing from Ellen, and I was basically bedridden for about 2 weeks. My body contracted so much from the clearing, so much that was blocked in my own chakras. This lineage, as most energy modalities do, works on the chakra system. And while some might hear that and say, "Oh my God, run for the hills," you know, for me, it was not actually an uncommon experience. A lot of my healing journey has involved that kind of contraction or feeling debilitated and. For those who don't know a lot about my own story, it is one rife with chronic pain, fatigue, and sickness. So that my body is quite sensitive energetically, and sometimes going real deep in a new modality can trigger a contraction. But what this also signaled to me was, this is really fucking powerful, and I should probably keep doing it when I can get out of bed again. And so after a bit of time, I recognized that I had to go through that initial contraction so my body, my vessel, could get clear enough to pursue the training, which I did, which was intensive, 10 to 12 hour days for a few iterations of a beginner training, an advanced training, a psychotherapy component, all of which I was guided to do because I jumped right in. And I continued to use this modality on myself. I was very, you know, I really love a modality that I can practice on my own because it frees me up. And I jumped in, like I said. So I was doing close to 3 to 4 hours of pranic healing a day on myself, which I'm not as crazy about now, but I still do daily. And I started using it with my clients. And furthermore, just because I really enjoyed the clearing process and seeing how it worked, I would just offer it to my friends. I would just offer it to people and they would come over. And like Jen mentioned, the use of salt water, we use sea salt or typical salt to dispel energy, because salt water is a good, you might say, garbage disposal for energy that we're clearing, while also being a medium that can pull toxins out of the body. So this was something that I offered to Jen. And us, and for me personally, when I started working very intensely in clearing my own body, my channel opened pretty significantly. Now, I was already, you know, this was just a few months ago, so I was already quite intuitive, you know, hearing and having various experiences, but I started having more explicit channeling experiences, ascended masters coming through me, being guided to record transmissions or downloads, things that were not super common for me in my journey thus far. And I just felt the lightning. I felt the raising of the vibration, I might say, which I know sounds kind of woo, but that's sort of the best way that I can describe what it felt like to me. So I had a lot of trust and conviction in this practice. And on one level, I would say it clears the energetic body. And one way to understand that is that the energetic body is a foundation for the physical body. What gets blocked energetically starts to play out physically, and both can be real. Both can exist, kind of like a layer cake. You can trust that if there is an injury, a woundedness, a chronic ailment in the physical body, you can bet that there is a correlation in the energetic body. And often what we call trauma, or the source material of toxic emotions and limiting beliefs about ourselves as others in the world that form from early life experiences, from ancestry, from past lives, etc. These what can feel like acute but also long-term conditions of stuckness that play out in various ways can live not just in the physical body but in the energetic body. There's a lot that's talked about now in sort of more mainstream parlance in Western psychology about how trauma gets stored in the body, such as books like Your Body Keeps the Score, right? But still, many debate this, and many say, well, can emotions really live in the body? Are they just created by the brain? But for the most part, people who are at least interested or open on being on the front lines of trauma research are open to the idea that emotions live in the physical body. I would push people a little bit further to say that emotions actually live in the energetic body as well. And so when we do pranic healing, we start to clear out the chakra centers and get free once and for all of some of the deeply rooted conditions we've held. That can be conditions of shame, conditions of unworthiness, conditions of self-punishment, you name it. And they can exist in various aspects of the throat, the heart, the sex chakra, the root chakra, you name it, the solar plexus, which all have different associations to what they may hold. And I dance loosely with this stuff. You know, it's a science, but it's a loose science. So I'm not here to say exactly what you're holding in your liver or exactly what you're holding in your tailbone. But from my own witnessing experience, there does tend to be a correlation. If you're getting things cleared out of your throat, I had a cough for a while. I had a sore throat for a while, and it correlated very directly with using my own voice. So all of that is to say and to preface that I was inviting Jen into this experience, trusting that it would support her opening to her channel, to her connection to spirit. And she came over. I did the clearing. I believe, correct me if you remember, Jen, I believe I was guided to work on your crown and your throat chakra.
Correct.
Okay. As well as, you know, this includes clearing energetic cords, attachments to people, places, and things, as well as, you know, cords can run very deep into ancestry and into past lives. So, really getting free of energetic cords, which we all carry. And this took about an hour, in which I had Jen meditate to a meditation by Master Stephen Coe, one of the 8 pranic healing masters in the world. And I went to work, and then I simply told Jen a bit about what she might expect, but it's different for everybody. I kindly suggested that she would not have the sort of contraction that I had, because my body is quite differently tuned, I would say, but that it can be uncomfortable because things are clearing out. There will be immense benefits if we trust the process. And, you know, I recommended some things like some salt baths and water and simply being kind to herself and resting if she needed to. And I will just turn it back over to you, Jen, to unfold the rest of your experience with that.
First of all, that's a very cool story about just how you learned the whole process and how, of course, she responded to you and said she was given the okay to teach you all of this.
And so. then I will just add, when I went to pay her, she said that it was a donation.
Okay.
And I donated quite a bit because I knew from the experience of it that it was going to be a very powerful clearing, but that was just sort of the gift of Ellen as a clear channel and vessel, who then I connected with my own mother and eventually leading to me, my mother, and my father in Ellen's office getting a clearing together. So lots of cool synchronicities evolving from that.
Cool. I definitely have felt some discomfort, and it feels like a detox, and I feel like I am moving out some energy that was stuck, and I can feel myself releasing trauma. I even am thinking about people that I haven't thought about in a long time and situations that made me feel terrible, and everything is kind of, releasing it, and it has been uncomfortable. But it's also opened up this, I don't know what the right word is, channel? This, I feel like it's like a tube coming out of like the top of my head. And I feel like information is flowing more freely between myself, my spirit guides, wherever it is that I'm receiving information from. And so I look forward to continuing that because I'm definitely feeling more open. And this is sort of one of those moments where if I take a step back, I really want to like laugh at the whole thing because it kind of does look ridiculous if like somebody walked in and saw what was going on.
Me waving my hands around Jen and doing weird things.
Right. Well, so I actually didn't want to open my eyes because I was afraid I was going to laugh if I saw what was going on. but I could hear like stuff moving around, and I'm not making fun of anything. I'm just letting everyone know that there has to be some, you have to be able to laugh at yourself, right? Because I think a lot of this is kind of silly in a way. But yeah, I felt it, I feel it. And I am so glad something like this even exists because it's powerful. And yeah, so I am grateful and thank you.
It is my pleasure and my service, and I know it's hilarious. I think I took off my shirt at one point because it was really hot, so I'm just bare feet, no shirt, in my apartment, like dancing around, waving my hands, breathing hard at times, you know, so yeah, it looks ridiculous. Thankfully, I've gotten a little comfortable looking ridiculous in my life and trusting the flow, but yeah, it's good to laugh. It's good to laugh
it at is good to
these
laugh.
Things. And what I will also say is for those who are like not only laughing, but like, you know, cannot really get themselves to even believe the possibilities of this, I will just say so much of this, all of this is not an emergence from reading some, you know, placebo-controlled double-blind study and saying, oh, I believe the evidence of this. If you know, if that's where you're at, if that's what your mind considers most accessible as far as what's true, that's great. I will just say that for me, living that way is not what got me out of pain. It's not what got me out of sickness. What got me out of sickness and pain was being open to my own direct witnessing. And when I started saying yes to people who did things that looked and sounded a little funny, I had a direct validation and feedback in my body that said yes. I felt it. I've always been sensitive in my body. I even felt like I was kind of on the autism spectrum as a kid. I had to rip all the tags out of my shirts. I would have meltdowns. So it wasn't a good kind of sensitivity at first, but it became a good kind of sensitivity as I learned that it was a compass and a form of discernment for what was true for me. I didn't have to read a study in a scientific journal. I just wanted to heal. And that's all I ever really wanted to do. And now it's changing a bit since a lot of healing has happened. I just want to align with my highest vision and be of service and live a joyful life. And my body, my heart continues to be a source of guidance. And so I will say that as a seeker, I have tried a lot of stuff, and I continue to. And for me, this realm of energy medicine, of energy healing, has been one of the most powerful modalities I've experienced. Now, it's not the only one. I think people, you know, they find something or they see something and they want to put it on a pedestal and then they want to conform their whole life around it. And that can, and I've made jokes about it before, but that can be kale, that can be yoga, that can be breath, you know, it can be whatever. You can put anything on a pedestal and say, this is the way. And for some, that's really aligned. For some who want to pursue a particular guru, a particular modality, a particular book, that's great. I have no qualms with that. No judgments of that. For me, being more flexible and open to the modalities that come into my life has created the most enriching life because it's allowed me to take a bit from here, and to stay open to the possibilities and to change my mind, which I do often. And so, to use the classic phrase, don't knock it till you try it, you know, if it sounds right for you, you know, just explore. If you're in a place where you're wanting more, you may be listening to this and be perfectly content, and that's great. I wasn't and haven't been for the majority of my life, so stepping into new opportunities to clear energy, which just made sense to me. It just made sense on a deeper level to me that we store conditions of trauma in our body and we can let them go, that I was going to give it a try, and that I actually really enjoyed being a servant or a steward of the modality, which is not the case for all things I try. You know, I've had a bunch of colonics too, because it really helped heal my gut. I don't want to be someone who is a colonic clinician or practitioner. So there's lots of things that I do for myself that I don't necessarily want to be a steward of, but this happened to be one of them. And I'm really glad, and it just feels really aligned that Jen got to experience this, because directly following the clearing, she said, I have a message for you, Daniel, and I think it involves us starting a podcast together. And very quickly, it spiraled into us being here, and it just so happens that I was working on Jen's throat chakra, supporting her in clearing space for her authentic truth and to start sharing with the world her experience that she had yet to feel comfortable to do so. So, you know, you can draw your own conclusions or your own correlations rather than causations, but I see some deep alignment in the unfolding of those events.
Absolutely. And I need this to heal. You know, I need to speak in order to heal. And, you know, art is very therapeutic. And like Daniel said, this is an art project. And we're not exactly sure where it's going. Although I did see the next 6 months or so pretty clear. And I'm feeling like, I mean, I guess I can just tell you, right? It doesn't really matter. So, okay. So some of my spirit guides, musicians, are wanting us to really work directly, one with other spirits that are stuck. And then for whatever reason, people who are in the music world here work with them like directly, so that when while they're living, so that when they are actually they've passed and their spirits, that we've already worked with them so that they're able to cross more easily. And that was just one of the messages. And again, if I receive a message, or if we receive a message, it doesn't mean we have to act on them. I want to start talking about them because I think it's interesting. And that the David Crosby was the first spirit that we worked with together.
And that's a beautiful, because I will just say that's actually the first time Jen has shared with me a bit of what she saw in that vision. She did mention that she had a clear vision of the next 6 months, but I didn't pry any further. And I trusted I would hear that unfolding in time. And it's really cool because it does resonate with an inkling I had, given that the first two experiences I had of supporting clearings with those who had crossed over, outside of some of the ancestral stuff I mentioned earlier, was with Jen, and it did provide a hint alongside my own intuition for a while now that has been changes coming for me. That's, yes, I've worked with clients and I've led some workshops and I have a podcast and things like that, but I've heard that change is coming. And then Jen showed up, and then this podcast showed up, and now these other experiences of working with those on the other side in a more direct way has showed up. And so that's really beautiful. It feels aligned. And it's also so cool to hear about the guidance to work with artists and the artist community for those that are still here. Because what a beautiful service to art, to the art of creativity, and to the old, and I would say outdated stereotype of the wounded artist, of the crazy artist, of the bipolar manic artist who cuts off his ear, of the artist that, cannot get grounded and must suffer in pain. And that just feels like a beautiful message to release the collective and the collective artist community from that limitation around how to be free and to heal alongside creativity. So just hearing Jen unfold that makes me feel so good in my body that I may be able to contribute to that mission in some way.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. And then the other part was that there were other people that would be sort of like learning from us after we spend some time. Like, basically, it looked like we were like kind of like locked in together for a few months and just writing and working with other spirits, and then bringing other people in, and then sharing this information so that it can continue on. But for whatever reason, that's the calling right this second.
I love it. And I'm so excited to be on this journey with you. and it just continues to feel like a present that we're both opening. And I get my own guidance, my own hits of clarity about where it's going, and then I get to hear from Jen and hear from her. and I will say that this is one of the first times that I've truly collaborated on this path, because for me a lot of this did just have to happen alone. I needed to clear a lot of things out of my space. When I left my clinic, there were a lot of people that did not understand, particularly at the highest levels of doctorate level clinical psych work, starting to talk about this kind of stuff is not super welcome in that community. So I left a lot behind. I journeyed into myself and across the country, and And there were people that came into my life, and at first I was jumping at the bit. Anyone that could be a part of my team that could support me. I remember one of the first people I met on this app, Clubhouse, I asked if she would join my business. I didn't even know this woman. And I was just so desperate, and I had to learn a lot of lessons about letting things unfold in divine time. And the lesson for me was that a lot of things I just needed to do on my own, and to learn, and then start coming into more aligned partnerships with people, whether they be friends or collaborators or what have you. And so it's been a little while since it has felt really aligned to open those doors, which is why it was such a blessing and something I truly didn't even really expect between Jen and I, because I thought, yeah, no, this is someone I can be of service to. That's happened plenty of times in the past. I've offered resources, supported someone, and they went on their way. But when Jen kept coming a bit closer and saying, no, I want you to do this podcast with me and I'm having visions with you in it, I was like, wow, that's so beautiful. What a beautiful gift for me to collaborate, which I know will be the first of more and more collaborations, more of more community involvement, so that neither Jen or I have to feel alone on this path or alone on this journey. And we get to unwrap these presents together, which is always a blessing.
And I am very glad that you have had, 6 months doing these podcasts?
Yeah, when did I start my... My other podcast is called Be the Vessel, if anyone...
And it's excellent.
thank you. Where I just showed up to interview those throughout the vast range and spectrum of the healing arts. And that was my own transmutation of fear and anxiety. I had no idea how to start a podcast. I thought, oh my God, it's such a saturated thing. Who wants to hear my voice? Blah, blah, blah. But the guides were clear. And at one point, you know, the courage and the will and the motivation showed up, and I just started recording myself solo on Zoom, and then eventually started inviting guests. And to my delight and surprise, people said yes. And that happened, I think maybe I recorded my first episode last summer, maybe June, July, August, something like that. So yeah, not too long.
So I'm glad that you did that, because it was perfect when we sat down and you sort of had the knowledge of how to do this and how to get it set up. And I feel like when things are meant to be, they happen very easily. And I just think that's a good reminder for myself. Just follow, you know, keep flowing, surrender to the flow. And yeah, this just felt very natural, and hopefully one day I'll be able to speak as beautifully as Daniel.
You're doing great.
I definitely relaxed a little bit, which is good. I have to be a little bit, you know, nice to myself every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while. Every once in a while it helps. And I will just say that I think you have sounded fantastic, and I am so excited for people to hear you and to hear your voice, because I think, you know, you are providing so much benefit to the world, and your courage in stepping into this is such a gift. So I am honored to bear witness to it. And I will echo how beautiful it was and how fast it came together, because I realized I'd been doing this all on my own. And when Jen brought this intuition, this vision and guidance for the podcast, I was like, oh, well, I guess I have this thing that can plug in two mics. And I actually have been doing all the editing on my own, so I'll just edit it for us. And great. And I just added another thing to Buzzsprout. And it's just, you know, if someone had brought that idea to me, they might have said, okay, take some time to plan and to strategize and see what you're going to need and discuss the frame and, you know, and really take time to see, you know, oh, are you going to want to put it on YouTube? Are you going to want to do this? And people have plenty of ideas about how to be quote unquote successful. And And if you talk to any person who maybe has a successful pursuit, you know, they may very honorably and with integrity attempt to give you all of that advice. But frankly, for me, it was a leap first. And a lot of my life has been a leap first kind of thing. My intention was never a certain kind of like financial success. It was just, I have to do this. At some point you may feel in life, at least for me, it works this way, that I just have to do it. I have to use my voice, which is what I know, which is why I resonate with what Jen is experiencing now in using her voice. Mm-hmm. And so I just needed to record it and get it out there. And I didn't know anything about editing. I didn't know anything about how to get people to listen to it. I didn't know any of that. I just did it. And we can be delightfully and miraculously surprised when it turns out that people were ready to receive what we had to give, and to be light and to be free and to not get bogged down by all the what ifs and all the potential, you know, threads and considerations that you could weigh in on, to just sit down and each of us only maybe half or three quarters ready, hit record and see where it goes, and you get to have beautiful moments like this.
Yeah, and here we are, and I am very excited to start really diving into some of these experiences that I've had, and I wanted to start it now before the summer when I'm going to some more of these fish shows, and I'm actually channeling different musicians, and I want to be able to talk about them like the next day. So I just wanted to start right away, and Daniel was on board, and like I said, it just all flowed so easily, and it was obviously a yes for both of us. And
so I think Jen is dropping some hints at what is to come there, and some areas that we may be exploring, including what happens to Jen at fish shows, which is a nod to the title of this podcast, which we may get into next time.
Yes.
And as well as going further into that realm and how we may continue to process in real time what is happening to Jen and all the aspects of her mission and life path that is unfolding for her, which is just beautiful. And again, I'm honored to bear witness to and so excited for the ride. So at this point, Jen, it sounds like we may save some of those other nuggets for future episodes to come.
I look forward to it.
And is there anything else that you would like to add to this beautiful initiation into this project?
Just thank you very much, Daniel, for doing this with me. I'm very grateful to have you in my life now. It's nice to sort of be seen and to see and understand somebody and to be able to discuss what is happening to me and just feel comfortable about it. So thank you. I am grateful for you. And and to anyone that listens, thank you for listening. And and thank you for following this journey.
And thank you, Jen, for all of it, for coming into my life and giving me a new direction to channel my own service into, which is so exciting for me, as I was simply waiting on some level for what's next. And you showed up almost literally at my doorstep and invited me into such a beautiful project and form of service that I am so happy to be a part of. And yes, to all of our will-be listeners, may this be a gift, a medicine, and an invitation for your own truth, for your own unfolding, and for wherever this these messagings are meant to guide you.
So until next time, embrace your own strange design.
Thanks for tuning in. If you would like to connect, please follow the podcast on Instagram at @DavidBowies_ghost, or follow us individually at @JenKesslerArt and at @Dr. Daniel_Atkins.
David Bowie's ghost looks forward to visiting with you again.